Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Lord, we praise you for the triumph that you won on the cross. And we thank you that we live in the good of your victory, that you are our victory. And thank you, Lord, that you have called us to communicate not just truth, but the life that is in that truth. And so we thank you, Lord, that you want us to be channels of your life to others. And we pray that this morning you will open up your word to us so that we can see how we can be more effective in fulfilling that purpose. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we'll have the word and then we'll meet with the Lord in the spirit as well as the word. Now, I shouldn't need to remind anyone here of the truth that you are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. You have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. Is everybody excited? I said everybody, not just. The truth is exciting. So turn to Matthew 27. Second part of verse 40. If you really are God's son, come down from the cross. Now Jesus is being taunted by his persecutors. This is the final temptation that is put before Jesus. Because he had the power to do that as the Son of God. But if he had done it, there would be no salvation for anyone. He had to die. Otherwise, he could not be raised again, and death could not be overcome. So here Satan puts before him, because of course we know the Pharisees were working in conjunction with Satan, because Satan had entered into Judas Iscariot, and they were cooperating with Judas to persecute Jesus, to crucify him. So they were the instruments of Satan. So this is the voice of Satan. If you really are God's son, come down from the cross. Now, we know that Jesus wouldn't really yield to such a temptation because he was on that cross in fulfillment of his Father's purpose. But of course, this is the greatest temptation that Satan places before you.
That's true. Right. Very good.
He says to you, come down from the cross. You see, you have been crucified with Christ. That which you were no longer exists. That natural life is overcome because daily you reckon yourself dead. But Satan says, no, come down from the cross. You've had a cross experience. Just leave it at that. But you see, if we're going to be effective in communicating the truth, we have to stay crucified with Christ. What happens to a backslider? He's come down from the cross. What has happened in the compromising, disobedient Christian? He's either never known that he is crucified with Christ, or if he does, then he's come down from the cross. Right. And the only way back for him is to go back to the cross and to recognize his identity with Jesus Christ crucified. Now, why is this so important? Well, obviously, at one level, it's important for all of us. Otherwise, we won't live out the gospel in our lives. But it's important for another reason that is greater than ourselves. You see, to preach about Jesus is one thing. To preach Jesus is something altogether different. To preach about the cross is one thing, but to be able to preach the cross is another thing. You can hear people preach about the cross and wonder why there's no response when an invitation is given for salvation. But if you preach the cross rather than preach about the cross, people will come under conviction. Sinners will repent before God. People will be healed. Things will happen. There will be fruit. Now, what's the difference? If you preach the cross, you're preaching out of your experience of the cross. We can all learn in our lectures and through commentaries and even just by reading scripture, we can learn about the cross. And we can tell people about the cross. And it still will not impact their lives. But when you preach the cross, people come under conviction of sin. Things stir deep within them because there is not only death but life in the cross. So the difference of fruitfulness is whether we're speaking out of experience or out of theory. And the same is true in any aspect of the gospel, in any way in which we want to reveal Jesus. To talk about Jesus may be a nice thing to do, but it won't actually communicate life unless you're preaching Jesus himself, so that Jesus is communicated by what you say and by what you do. So those of you at the college here, you haven't come to learn about Jesus, but to know Jesus. You haven't been brought here to learn about the cross, but to experience the cross. And you see, the cross, therefore, is a daily experience. There is what Paul calls a daily reckoning of ourselves as being dead to sin but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, without the reckoning, you effectively come down from the cross. In your thinking, in your attitudes. And that means that you will automatically revert to self. And your thoughts, your motives, your speech, to a great extent, will focus on yourself and not the Lord. You will be concerned about yourself. But according to my Bible, Jesus said that if anyone is going to follow him, they've got to deny themselves, not be concerned about themselves. Hello? I don't see how you can deny yourself and be concerned about yourself at the same time. Now, we might say, well, it's a very natural thing to be concerned about yourself. Precisely. It is just a natural thing. But then God has delivered us from the natural when he took us to the cross and filled us with the supernatural when he gave us his Spirit. So is it unreal not to be concerned about ourselves? It's unreal to the world, but it makes sense spiritually to the Christian. You see, it's where the focus is. If your focus is on self, how can you preach Jesus? If you're not living as one who has died and has been given a new life, how can you preach the cross? You can tell people about the cross, but how can you preach what the cross means? You see, Jesus said a very revealing thing when he said, by their fruit you will know them. There's lots and lots and lots of Christians who know the truth, but look at the whole variety of fruit of what they produce. I'm not just talking about comparing the different kinds of ministries. Whatever a person's ministry is, you can see that some people are very, very fruitful. Others are significantly less fruitful. Why is that? Well, it's all got to do with how effective someone is in living as one who has died and been raised to new life in Christ. The more you live the message, the more fruitful the message becomes in other people. Paul at one point says, you know, there are some people that preach out of wrong motives. And he says, well, thank God that at least the gospel is preached. Some people will hear it and some good will come out of it. But then he goes on to talk about love and compassion and care, that those that preach out of love for God and love for people, they are going to be exceedingly more fruitful. Why? Because they're living the message that they proclaim. You see, you can know the gospel. You can even, in some denominations, become an ecclesiastical employee who can run a church and tell people what the gospel is, but there's no life. Which is true in some churches. There's just no life. There's no life in the one preaching. There's no life in the people. There's no life in the service. And yet Jesus came to give us the fullness of life. But you see, if the message isn't being lived, there's no life. And the last thing anybody wants to do is to go through a form of service which is lifeless. It isn't just that it's upbeat and everybody's dancing about and jigging around and having a good time. That's not the life. That's just jigging about and having a good time. The life is that which is of Christ that is communicated. So what God calls us to be is channels of his life. So when you preach, it's not a question of, was that a good message? Was it not a good message? Was it true? Did I get it all right? But how much life was communicated? How much life have people received? Because you see, where the cross is preached, the life of the cross, the life that the cross has made possible, will be communicated to people. Where Jesus is preached, then the life of Jesus will impact people. Even if they've heard the gospel 1,000 times, they will still receive life. Now, we have in this room many, many communicators of the gospel, because that's what we're all called to be. But that's not just a matter of knowing the gospel and knowing some principles of communication. Because the bottom line is how much you are experiencing the gospel. How much you're experiencing Jesus. How much you're experiencing the cross. How much you yourself are experiencing the Spirit, so that the Spirit can then move. So it's not just a question of preaching, those of you who that lead worship. Your ability to see the life and the power of God come into the worship is dependent to a great extent on where you are in your personal walk with Jesus at that time when you're leading worship. I don't mean that you can suddenly step into a greater walk with Jesus just because you know, I'm on the list for this Sunday. But where you are in your relationship with Jesus will determine how far the life of Jesus can be communicated through what you do in the worship.
That's very good. That's true. Absolutely.
And the same principle, you see, is true in any other area of ministry. How much of Jesus gets communicated depends upon how far you are living the gospel yourself. Because you see, the gospel is essentially relationship with Jesus. So the closer you are walking with Jesus, the more of Jesus that is going to be communicated. It's living in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So the more you are living in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the more of the Holy Spirit will be communicated. Now you see, you look at what's happened and you say, that's anointing. But what is anointing? We all have the anointing. We all have the anointing of the Holy One, and that anointing abides. Why does it appear that some are more anointed than others? They're simply flowing with God, that's all. They're walking with him, they're in fellowship with him, they're flowing with him, and you see the difference. And the difference is in what happens. Not whether, oh, the presence of the Lord was great this week. No. What happens? What happens in the lives of people? Because the preaching of the gospel is a happening event.
Come on. Amen.
So things are to happen.
Yeah.
Events take place in the lives of people that are on the receiving end of the flow of life that is pouring out of us. You see, Jesus says, "My words are spirit and life." So the life is in the word. But you can communicate the word without life. Now that can be because there isn't faith in the word, or there isn't obedience to the word. There isn't, in other words, the living out of the word. So as you've heard me say 1,000 times, it's not what you know in the Christian life that matters, but what you do with what you know. There's no point in knowing the will of God unless we do the will of God. Now, in the whole drama of salvation that Jesus went through in order that we might have the fullness of life, there's a very definite order of events that begin in the Garden of Gethsemane. Before ever Jesus goes to the cross, a matter has to be absolutely settled. And the matter is simply this: not my will, but yours be done. This is before the cross. Not on the cross or after the cross. It's the decision that enables the cross. Now, it's easy to trip off the tongue, not my will, but yours. And we would all want to identify with that. Except that's not what every Christian lives. Most Christians live, your will and mine be done. Yeah, I want your will, Lord, but I want my way as well. But you see, what Jesus said is not my will. Now, you see, unless you face that, you can't know what the cross means. You can't live as one, even though you know all the right theology by now, because you've been around here for months. Even though you know the right doctrine, you don't necessarily live as one who is crucified with Christ. If you haven't first faced this truth, not my will, but yours. Why is this so important? Well, it wouldn't be that important if our will lined up with God's will. But the trouble is that in your flesh there dwells nothing good. In your self-life there is nothing that can please God. In your self-life there is nothing that God can use even to promote the purposes of his kingdom. Now, we don't like that. We like to think, well, look, there's some good things about me that surely God can use. And he says, no, there's nothing about you that I can use except you become a channel of my spirit, because only my spirit can communicate the life. That you can do all kinds of things with the soul, and ultimately that's all they are, soulish things that produce no lasting fruit. They may please you because you feel that you are doing something that is good and fulfills something of a need within yourself, but it doesn't promote my kingdom. Mm-hmm. What promotes his kingdom is not my will, but yours. Apart from you, I can do nothing. I have died to believing that in my soul life, in my natural life, there's anything I can do to please you or anything that you can really use. So, you know, as a preacher, I'm up the spout if I think I can preach. If I think I've got something to say, God help me and preserve the congregation. Because what God needs is simply mouthpieces that are going to mouth what he is saying, not what the preacher wants to say. Now, if you're a preacher with some experience, you know so much of the gospel, you could preach sermons from morning till midnight, but unless it's the voice of God, it won't produce life. Unless it's the word that comes from the Spirit, it will not change anyone. You can go and shut yourself away in a room with a notebook and commentaries, and you can write a good sermon of truth, and you can stand up and preach it, and no life will be communicated unless your voice becomes the voice of God. Because the Spirit of God is speaking through you. Some of you are sort of learning to communicate and to preach and so on, and you're probably beginning to experience how, you know, you prepared something because that's what you need to do when you're learning to communicate the gospel. But then in the midst of what you have prepared, suddenly the Spirit takes over and then life gets communicated. And it's all totally different. You know, you started with something that was boom, 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 and then suddenly God entered the scene. And everybody began to sit up and take notice.
Right. Very good.
And sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit can take over like that, and at the end you can say, oh, I don't know whether that was any good because it seemed to be all over the place. I was going to say this and I didn't say it, and I was going to say that and I didn't say it. And the Holy Spirit says, that was my plan, that you shouldn't say it because I had something to say. And when I say something, it may seem over the place to you, but it's not to the people because I'm saying this to one and that to another and this to someone else. I know what I'm doing. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't prepare, but I tell you, when you prepare to preach, it's not the text that needs to be prepared, but more the preacher needs to be prepared. I mean, I speak to you every Tuesday morning, but I was up in the small hours this morning to prepare for this because I can't preach to you on a Tuesday or any other time simply out of what I know. But okay, God, you've got a keynote message for this week. What is it? And sometimes I say, yeah, and sometimes, really, Lord? But you learn with a little bit of experience that his wisdom is greater than your wisdom. You see, when you communicate the truth in the power of the Spirit, that's when hearing the word produces faith in people. Why? Because they've heard the voice of God. Faith comes from hearing, not just a preacher, but hearing God speak through his word. There is no faith without revelation. The word of God lives in you and you believe. It comes to life. It springs up to life in you. Oh, you can slavishly say, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed. But when it becomes revelation, by his stripes I'm healed, something happens.
Yeah. Come on.
Hallelujah. So, we're all in Bible school. For the rest of our lives. It doesn't mean you have to stay at Rafi for the rest of your life. Praise God, glory, hallelujah, amen. But it does mean that you're in Jesus Bible school for the rest of your life. And what he is doing every day by his Spirit is guiding you into the truth. He is reminding you of what Jesus has said and done. He's not speaking of his own, on his own. He speaks, Jesus says, only what he hears. Now, if that's how the Holy Spirit operates and the Holy Spirit is in you, how do you think God wants you to function? That you speak only what you hear, not what you know. But what you hear.
Come on. Very good. Very good.
All the difference in the world. Jesus knew everything that he needed to know, but he knew on every occasion he was to speak only what he heard. I speak only the words my Father gives me to speak. This is what makes the difference. As an Anglican pastor, I was a conventional preacher for the first few years of my ministry until the Holy Spirit took over. And I can remember the first occasion on which that took place when it was like I was standing next to myself, listening to myself, and there was this stream of words coming. They weren't coming from my mind. They were coming from the Spirit of God, and he was explaining things to the people that I didn't know myself. I thought, this is interesting. But you see, that happened, and it's happened ever since. And that was years ago, about 40 years ago. But you see, what preceded that was my acknowledgement before God that I could not preach. That my preaching was useless and hopeless. I couldn't do it. And in my naivety, because I hadn't heard of anybody doing this before, I just said, Lord, you've got to speak through me, otherwise it's no use at all. So he took me at my word and he did it. But you see, there's a principle at work there. Not that I would have been able to analyze the principle at the time, but the principle is that you have to come to the end of yourself before he will take over. And you see, this is the great revelation. Not I, but Christ. I can't, but he can. So if I don't, he will. But if I do, he won't. While I think I can do it, he'll let me get on with it. Not just preaching, but whatever. Whatever it is you're called to do. While you think you can do it, he'll let you do it. But it won't communicate life. But when you say, Lord, I can't do this without you, because if I do it without you, there won't be any life at the end of it. There won't be any fruit that lasts. And when my work is tested, it'll get burnt up instead of surviving the fire of testing. So I want the work that you do to be the work of your Spirit through me, so that it will produce life in others. And actually, there will be a reward because it will be the work that survives the fires of testing. The wood, hay, stubble get burnt up, but the silver, gold, and precious stones don't. So when it's Christ instead of you, it's silver, gold, and precious stones. And you see, this makes sense of what Paul said. Do you remember he said, death is at work in us, that life may be at work in you. Do you remember him saying that? Perhaps you don't, because it's not one of the most popular sayings of Paul. But it is so true that if you're to communicate the life of the gospel instead of just the knowledge of the gospel, death will be at work in you. But the more death that is at work in you, the more life will be at work in others. You know, from time to time, leaders have a few problems with people in among their congregations or the people that they're leading. And when you analyze the nature of those problems, they always boil down to the same thing. That the people who have problems are those who are strong in their soul life and weak in the spirit. And they are confused because they think their soul life is the spirit. But anyone with spiritual perception can see that's just their soul life. And you see, the soul life, the flesh and the spirit, they are absolutely opposed, Jesus says. That which emanates from the soul opposes that which emanates from the spirit. Because that which emanates from the soul is of self, and that which emanates of the spirit is of God. So the soul is given to be the channel of the Spirit's grace and life and love and power to other people. But things are not to begin with the soul. They're to begin with the Spirit. And the soul becomes the servant of the Spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? So it's great when you come to acknowledge, Lord, I can't, or I haven't got anything to say. God says, thank goodness for that. Now I can have a go. And you know, the Lord, you can say, oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. He says, that's all right, I do. Just trust me and you'll be okay. See, this is what the life of faith is all about. Not thinking that you know it all and you can do it all and you can just apply the principles of faith and everything's going to fit into place. Because life ain't like that. Faith is a relationship of dependence upon Jesus Christ. Faith is a relationship of unity with God the Father. Faith is a relationship in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is the Word. And the Spirit has the specific task assigned by the Father to bring the Word and make it live in us. Word can't live in you without the Spirit. It can be in your head, but it can't produce life in you. Without the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit are to work together. We see we're after real faith, not just faith confession. Which says, I have everything, and you get into debt. So, praise God. Amen. How are we going to take the land? How are we going to enter into the possession of the inheritance that God has given us? Only through life. How are we going to see the lives of people transformed through life? How are we going to see an increase of people being healed through life? How are we going to see a fresh dynamic coming into our worship so that people really meet with God in transforming ways? Through life! And this is what God is saying to us. This is the keynote for Kingdom Faith at this season. You see, we have the life, and God is saying, live the life and you'll communicate the life. And as much as you live it will be as much as you're able to communicate it. Through your witness, through love, through relationship, through preaching, through worship, through prayer. Come on, the prayer is going to go up to a new level because the prayer is going to be filled with life. You can pray with many words, but Jesus says you won't be heard for your many words. What you want is prayer of life. It would be more effective to be still before God, to listen to Him, and then just pray what He tells you to pray, and life would go forth. Because the prayer is coming from God and not just from our minds with what we ought to pray for and how it ought to work out and a few kuriya sundas in the middle of it all. And you know, I was incapacitated for a few days at the end of last week in terms of movement. And you always think, okay, Lord, what's all this about? And one thing God said to me, well, I got you where I need you to be now. Just shut up and receive. 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 Because you can only give what you have received. And he says, I've been telling you for weeks that you need to receive more from me. Well, now you're in a place where you jolly well got to. So just receive, receive, receive. And praise God, I can stand before you and preach and move about and praise God. Healed by Jesus and David Fraser.
Yes.
But the main of credit goes to Jesus. But can we see that you can be in that place of self-delusion and say, I've got it all, so I don't need to receive. Yeah, right, you have it all, you have the fullness of life, but how is it going to get out of you and into others? What you need is a spiritual pump.
Yes.
In my office here, I've got a globe, a sphere, it's actually made out of marble. And it sits on a platform under which there is water, and in the water there's a pump, and in the middle of the globe there's a hole, and this pumps the water out and it pours all over the globe. To me, it represents the living water of the Spirit going all over the world. But you see, without the pump, it wouldn't work. All the water is there, but it won't flow out. And it won't therefore cover the globe. Something has got to exist between what you have and what other people are able to receive. And you see, this is why our relationship with the Holy Spirit is so important, because as we receive from Him, that life pumps out of us. Like rivers of living water, Jesus said, from deep within. And then everything all around you gets wet with the water of the Spirit. And it's what you receive from God in your relationship with God that is that pump. Somehow the Spirit releases that which is in you and it pours out of you. It pours into what you're doing. You know, I'm doing all the notes for this study version of Truth. New Testament at present. Now, I've got a certain amount of Bible knowledge after teaching for 46, 7 years, whatever it is. 47 years this year. But I don't want those notes to be full of knowledge. I want them to be full of life. Because God said to me, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to communicate the life that is in my word. So I could just write notes about what it means, or I can say, Holy Spirit, speak through this so that when people read these notes, life is communicated, because it'll take them back to the Word, and the life that is in the Word will impact their lives. See, it's the difference between doing something in the natural and doing something in the supernatural. Something that you can do and doing something of dependence on the Spirit. What is religion all about? Religion is all about man trying to put God into a form or creating a form whereby they can worship God or relate to God. But God is bigger than any of our forms and We can't neatly confine Him into a religious system. Hallelujah. If you form a box for Him, all He wants to do is break out the box. And this is a breaking out year. Oh, praise God. And what I'm looking forward to is seeing more and more life.
Come on.
That there's a fresh excitement.
Yes.
When we come to meet here on Sundays, when the church meets, when we go out to minister in His name, but whenever there is a gathering of people, there's an excitement because there's an expectation. Things are going to happen because this is going to be full of God's life. It's not just going to be a good meeting, a good message, good worship this week. No, no, life. And we won't have to suggest to anybody that it would be honoring to the Lord to get there on time, because they will be eager to receive the life. Now you have it. God wants to start pumping it out. Pumping it out. Pumping it out. Why? Because you've been through Gethsemane and you've said, not my will but yours. You've been to the cross and you say, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and I'm staying in that place. I'm not getting down from the cross and saying, it's all right, Lord, I'll do it now because I know a certain amount. No, I'm staying on the cross. So it's not I, but Christ. And I'm living in the risen, glorified, ascended Christ. And by the power of His Spirit, He's living in me. So nothing is impossible for God. I can be the channel of His life, of His grace, of His power, of His love, of anything and everything that He is. And God will be glorified because of the fruit that will come from the life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even the lectures full of life.
Come on.
And the students full of life. And everybody on the team and everybody in the church full of life.
Yes.
And not only full, but channeling it.
Yes.
Flowing out. Puparazata baka. Are you excited?
Yes.
Come on, let's stand up. Praise the Lord. Purata parazatu pukarasita. Come on, thank the Lord for the life. I have come that you may have life and have it in all its fullness. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Master. Come on, Holy One. Okay, now we're just going to take a little journey with Jesus for a few moments. And we'll begin in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, it took Jesus 3 hours of intensive prayer when he was sweating blood. To come to that place of total surrender. To the Father's purpose of him going to the cross. Even though he knew it was the purpose, he had to surrender to it. He prophesied about it. He knew that that's what he had to do, but he still had to surrender at that human level. Not my will. Now, we could all say that. We could all trot it out. We could be sincere when we said it. But I want you to pray now that God will really bring you to the end of your will. Not my will. That He'll take each of us through whatever we have to go through so that what we're living with is His will and not our will. Not my will. But yours. Be done. Not, Jesus didn't say, I want to know your will. I want to do it. So, You can pray it for yourself now. Not my will, but your will be done. Not just known, but done. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not just known on earth, but done on earth. God has called you to be one through whom his will be done on earth. And thank the Lord that he took you to the cross. Not just your sin, but you. You were crucified with him. The death of that self-life, of that self-will, took place, not needs to take place, it took place on the cross. Jesus did it on the cross. What he worked for himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, he did for you on the cross. Now perhaps you might realize that in some ways you've yielded to that temptation to come down from the cross. And instead of reckoning yourself dead with Christ, you still wanted your will, your way. And you need to pray this morning, Lord, I want to stay crucified so I can really walk in your risen life every day without that conflict between what you want and what I want. That, Lord, that issue is settled. It's not my will but yours. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I with my will and what I want who lives, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Not I, but Christ. Hallelujah. You probably got to do work on your own with the Lord through these issues in a way there isn't time this morning, but that's okay. You need to do that in your own time, really. But you can say to the Lord, Lord, I want to bear much fruit for your glory. I want those rivers of living water to flow out of me. I want you really you to be pumping that life out of me. I don't want to just be a reservoir, a container of your life. I don't want to just say, well, I've received everything that you came to give, or I have the fullness of life. Lord, I want that which is life in me to become life in others. I don't simply want to talk about Jesus. I want to reveal Jesus. I don't want to simply explain the cross. I want the cross to impact people's lives. Lord, I don't want to just tell them about the life of Jesus. When I speak, when I act, I want life to go forth out of my words, out of my actions, so that that life impacts other people. Things happen. Events take place. Things are transformed. People are healed. People are set free. Because the word will work life in them. Oh Lord, I want to be a channel of your grace, a channel of your life, a channel of your power, a channel of your love, that Christ in me will just be flowing through those channels, flowing out of me as rivers of living water. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to be concerned about myself, because if I'm concerned to serve you, you are concerned about me. And that's much more important than me being concerned about myself. Thank you, Lord. You will care for me. You will look after me. You will provide for me. That if I seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, everything else will be added to me. And I won't have to take thought for tomorrow. I won't have to worry about what to wear or what to eat or any of that stuff. I thank you, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Pura la bazatari elero bakarazituri sanduma. Bura la bazatari elero bakarazituri sanduma. Life in all its fullness. Flowing out, Lord, flowing out. Not just contained, but flowing out. Producing life in others. Now, can you be in that place where the apostle was, where Paul was, and when he said, death is at work in us, that life may be at work in you. Paul says, I die daily to self in order that I might live for the gospel. Hallelujah. Can you thank the Lord you die daily to self, to what you want, in order to be a channel of his life to others? Now, the Lord is saying, this is not too big for you. This is not too great for you. He said, no, this is how I designed you. This is why I chose you. This is why I put my life in you. Because I knew you could be a channel of that life to others. I didn't give you the life for you. I gave you the life for others. Hallelujah. And God knows the end from the beginning. He can see all that fruit that is going to be produced in your life in the future. And you see, sometimes when we're in a place where God is talking to us about relationship with Him and submission to Him and obedience to Him, we might say, well, I want to see the fruit. And God said, I'm doing in you what will produce the fruit. Because the fruit will come out of your relationship, will come out of your walk, will come out of your submission to me. That the more you are yielded to me, the more that life that I've put within you can flow out of you. Hallelujah. Sato poro soturi santuma. God has made you a person of faith. So you believe all this, that the Spirit and the Word will work together in your life to produce much abundant fruit for the glory of His name, the good of His kingdom, and the welfare of His people. Hallelujah. Sara Baturia Leto Bakarasita Ba. Barataparia Zituri Saratoria Leto Bakarasituri Sandum. Burataparia Zituri Sataria Leto Bakarasituri Sandum. Buralala Basuturi Sataria Leto Bakarasituri Sandum. Buralala Basuturi Sataria Leto Bakarasita Ba. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Now come on, let's just unite our faith before we praise God. And let's say, Lord, we believe this is going to be a year of life, a year of communicating your life, a year of seeing your life at work, not only in our lives, but in others around us. Thank you that that life is going to impact the lives of many that don't know you, have never received that life. That when they come anywhere near Kingdom Faith, they're not going to just hear the truth. They're going to receive the life that is in the truth. And we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We bless you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.